This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
God and God alone is fit to take the universe's throne. All the best and the worst of man can't change the master's plan. It's God and it's God alone. Those, the words of that song just came to me, and as a prophetic word came about just before about the glory, God will not give his glory to any flesh. God alone be glorified. I'm just aware this morning God's speaking to hearts, and I want to talk about that. I want to talk about, God is shaking everything. Everything that can be shaken is being shaken. I've shared about that. And, you know, I think, what's God's purpose in that? He wants to shake men from their trust in themselves, from their confidence in themselves. He's going to shake everything that can be shaken, as the whole world is going to be shaken. The scripture says that not only is he going to shake the earth like he did in the Old Testament, the whole earth was shaken, but he's going to shake the heavens and the earth. Stars are going to fall from the heavens. And the Bible says that men's hearts are going to fail them for fear of the things that are coming on the earth. But God is speaking to us. God is speaking to us. We're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. I've been talking about the book of Hebrews, where it says God, who spoke in times past, he spoke through the law, he spoke through the prophets, he spoke through Moses, he spoke through many things, but in these last days, he has spoken to us through his Son. And here's the last word. Here's the last word. And the Bible says that we've got to give the more earnest heed, it's Hebrews chapter 2, to the things we have heard. Isn't that interesting? To the things we have heard. You know, I said we're in a generation who wants to hear the latest thing. We want to hear more and more information. It's like information overload. But the Bible says we've got to give the more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. And I just want to touch on a couple of scriptures in Hebrews. I read last week through all of, I think I went all the way through to Hebrews chapter 3. I just felt I couldn't stop. You know, the whole of Hebrews is an incredible book. You know, if you want to get something out of Hebrews, one thing that comes out to me is today, if you will hear his voice. I've been sharing that hearing is an operation of the heart, because faith comes by hearing. Faith doesn't come by knowledge. Faith comes by hearing. You know, it says in the Bible, in the last days, that we'll have itching ears, we'll heap up teachers, we'll have more and more of what we want to hear than ever before. It's available to us. But the Bible says, he who hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church today. Today, if we will hear his voice. Harden not your hearts, as in the day of provocation, where he says, where your fathers tested me, they tried me. And you know what he found? He said, I found that they were a generation that always went astray. Where? In their hearts. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we've got to hear, we've got to pay that more earnest heed to the things that we have heard. Not going to hear, but have heard. You know, I believe that God wants to give such a revelation today. Look, He's already done all that he can do. Who hath believed the report, Isaiah 53? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? You see, it first of all comes from a report. We've got to hear with our heart. Then our heart is open and we begin to see. I heard, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me. It was like the voice of many waters. And he turned and he saw. He saw the Son of God and fell like a dead man. You see, hearing comes before seeing. God wants to reveal to our generation things that have never been shown or seen before, but it all depends on our hearing. On our hearing. You know, it's interesting. Here's John on the Isle of Patmos. He was there. He was there for the word of God. He was there in tribulation. He was there because he preached about Jesus, testified, witnessed, took the witness stand about Jesus, and he gets thrown onto a remote island by himself for the word of God. And he hears this sound. But you know what I love? He was in the Spirit. He wasn't in the flesh. Oh, poor me. God, why have you allowed these things to happen to me? I thought you loved me. I thought you cared for me. I thought you were going to do this and you were going to... Do you know that God's hand is on your life? That he is the one that has already determined every day that you will live. He's determined every hour that you will live. He's already formed all of that and planned all of that. He knows even everything you think before you think it. He knows everything about you. Man, my times are in his hand. Your times are in his hand, or in the palm of his hand. Hebrews says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Harden not your heart. And he goes on to talk about, this is the two verses out of Hebrews 3 I want to read today. He's talked about Moses was faithful in all his house, but today, well, you know, God makes everything, doesn't he? God's the builder of all things. He made everything. And it says, but Christ, this is Hebrews 3:6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. How awesome is this place? How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway of heaven. I can say that to every single one of you. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gateway of heaven. No wonder that's where we pray, our Father, don't you love it? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. Let this be the beachhead. Let this be the beachhead on planet Earth. Let me be the beachhead that you establish on planet Earth and work through me. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Whose house we are, you and I, we are. I mean, how incredible is that? The God who says the heavens can't contain him, the earth can't contain him. We're his house. Whose house we are. Now listen, this is it. If, you know, those little words, it's one of the smallest words you can get. If, here's the condition. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. If we hold fast the confidence. Where did that confidence and where did that rejoicing and where did that hope come from? Where did it come from? We're going to get to that. Go on a little bit further in Hebrews chapter 3. And start from verse 12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing. Yeah, we've got to be careful we don't drift. Hebrews says, departing. You know that? You think, oh, depart. You know, spat the dummy, chucked a big blarney, and off he's gone. That departing can be a gradual thing. It can be that's the most sinister. That's the most, the one that you've got to watch out for. The one where you don't just do it all in one big hit. You do it gradually, step by step, gradually. There's something starts to happen in the heart and there's a parting, there's a drifting away. You know, so the story of the husband and wife in the car used to have the bench seats. Remember the bench seats? No, probably don't. You're not that old. In the bench seats, I remember the EH we had. bench seat before we had the bucket seats. And Bev was so close. She was so close. I barely steered. She was that close. And then over the years, they say, you know, the husband's driving away. And he said, you know, we used to be so close. She used to sit right up next to me. No, sorry, it was the wife that said that. And he said, well, who moved? She slid over a bit. Wanted a bit more space. But departing from the living, is it an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God? But exhort one another. Gee, we need all the one another's in the Bible. Forsake not the gathering of yourselves together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day's approaching. It's that the judge is standing at the door. He's standing at the door. So much the more. But exhort one another daily while it's called today. You know, when Jesus stood up to read in his hometown and he read out of the book of Isaiah, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach, well, that good news, deliverance, opening of blind eyes, the opening of literal eyes, the healing of the brokenhearted, the recovery of those who are bound, the liberation. And he read out of Isaiah and he closed the book at that stage because it was that day, today. There's a period we're in where God is calling all men everywhere to repent. Whoever, doesn't matter what you've done, where you've been, whoever will call on his name, not might be, but shall be saved. That's the kind of confidence we have. So here we go. Today, lest any of you be hardened for the deceitfulness of sin, for we have become partakers of Christ, and here's that little word again, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. You know, when things are repeated like that, so close in the Bible, we've got to pay close attention to it. Now, I want to ask you, what is the condition of your heart? You know, the Word of God is alive and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides between soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the very thoughts and the intents of the heart. We could go into that, what that word means. There's so much to it. Everything you do is out of your heart. All that you are comes out of your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence, the Bible says, because out of it flow the issues of life. Everything in your life comes out of your heart. It's where you hear God from. It's not about how much information. You could tell me, read through the whole Bible and quote it all without looking at it and have all knowledge. The devil knows the Bible, but his heart is seared. It's cut off from God. Today we've got to hear him. If we hold fast that confidence. I want to tell you a story. You know, the gospel, it's not God will save you because you're a good person. You know, Bernie, you've been such a good guy. He is a good guy, isn't he? Hey? He's a good guy. You know, that's why God saved you. No, it's not. You know what the Bible says about you? Sorry to tell you this, Bernie. But all have sinned, even you, Bernie. I shouldn't be stirring you like that. Anyway, this is about us all. All have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. We're all just like that prophetic word, grasping, trying to grasp there, trying to get it in our own merits and strength. Bible says there's not one good, no, not one. It says about our heart, that our heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? Well, God knows it. And he loves us. He loves us in spite of that. But he commands all men to repent. You know, I love the words of that old song, my eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift word, swift sword. It's his word that is alive and powerful. Some are going to hear it and run to the rocks. Some are going to hear it and run to him. And that's the best place to run, because whoever calls, you might be cut to the heart, as they were in the book of Acts, by the word of God. But that's a good thing. Cut to the heart. Don't run to the rocks, but run to him. Say, what do I do? And he'll tell you what you should do. You know what you should do? It's not fast for a week, fast for a month, fast for 40 days. You know, it's repent. Believe in who? This is the work that God's called us to believe, to believe. Now let me tell you the story. When World War II, how many years did World War II run for? Who's 39 to 45. There you go. Thank you. That's what I need to see. And just put up six fingers. I can get onto that real quick. So 6 years. Just imagine what people were going through during those times. Well, think about those whose countries are overrun, and they were prisoners. And you know, I've heard stories. I remember talking to Ian Barker here, and many about. Oh, I was just talking to Frank. Dahm just the other day, that's right, till you're talking about those missiles that were sending over to England. Yeah, when you could hear them, and when you heard them, it was fine, but when you didn't hear them, you run for cover, because that's when they're falling. But anyway, all these horrible stories, and what people went through for those 6 years, you know, and then the ones that were fighting, just imagine how their hearts would have grown. Just imagine the feeling of hopelessness that would have begun to settle on people, the fear that would grip people's hearts. People probably kept to themselves. There was no openness. There certainly wasn't any peace. There was no rest for anybody. It was fighting to survive. You know, when the war was ended and the declaration came about the end of the word, it was the end of the war. It was declared the end of the war in Europe, America, England. There were people that were just suddenly full of joy. Nothing had changed yet, but it was just that declaration. The war is over. It's finished. The incredible joy that people suddenly were experiencing. They were liberated. They were free. They were hugging complete strangers in the street. This incredible liberty and freedom. And suddenly there was hope again for the future. There was joy again. There was freedom again. And there was expression, people expressing their love one to another because of that freedom and that liberty and that joy and that hope that was restored just by a declaration, just by a pronouncement that it's over. How much more when we declare Christ is risen from the dead and he is Lord. He is the Savior of all men, and whoever calls on him shall be saved. Not might be, but will be saved. Whoever believes, it's that report, it's the gospel, it's the good news. God has determined that through the foolishness of preaching that men and women shall be saved. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, announcing peace, declaring news of happiness, saying to Zion, your God reigns. It's over. He has won the battle. The devil is defeated. He is under his feet. Whoever comes to Jesus shall be saved. Oh, man. Can you remember the great joy? I can remember the great joy. And the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember driving home from a meeting where I let go and let God. I believed everything that He said. I stopped trying to, well, what if I come to more meetings? What if I read my Bible harder? What if I do this? No, it was nothing to do with that. It was to do with me hearing and believing. See, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It is over. It is finished. It is done. And the Bible says that we've got to hold the beginning of our confidence and trust and love and joy firm to the end. See, it's a heart condition that God wants me to hold and He wants you to hold. He who the Son sets free, come on, finish it, is free indeed. Brethren, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial that you're going through, but rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Come on, don't be a victim anymore. Don't be a victim anymore. Because He has set free, He has set you free. Jesus has opened the prison doors and He has set us free. Not because of anything we've done or will happen, because He's already done it. He has liberated us. Hallelujah, what good news. But you know what I see happening now? There's a weariness. We can be weary. Don't be weary in doing good. You see, it's a weariness of the heart. We can get a discouragement. In the last days, there's warning about this hardness of heart that can settle on us. And God said, don't be weary. Don't get discouraged. Lift up your head, because your redemption's drawing near. You know, we've got a sign over our bed. It's always darkest, just before the break of dawn. Well, we, you and I have the tremendous opportunity to be living in this time. For such a time as this, we have been brought to the kingdom. I'm just going to finish with this. You know, it says, Paul was actually talking to the Hebrews and said, guys, remember the tremendous confidence you had at the beginning, the joy that you had? He said, remember when they came and took your houses away? How would you feel, Iris, if Andrew? You got a beautiful home. Somebody came and took you home, kicked you out. Well, the Bible tells you that you're to rejoice. You're to rejoice greatly. Blessed are you if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You don't do it in this martyrdom sort of attitude. You do it because you've got something far more valuable. Your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You've got a mansion of gold for you that can never be taken away from you. That's the kind of witness that we've been called to give in this generation today. If we will hear His voice, I tell you what, revelation is going to come. I want, can we just stand? I need to finish. I've just seen the time. Bev said, remind me of time. I've got to continue about this at a later time. I want to ask, here's the picture. Unless you're converted and become like a little child, you can't enter the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God is not meat or drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy in the Holy Spirit. You know the condition of your heart, and God knows it. We've got to have a condition of heart like a little child, loving. I think one of the major things is trusting. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Is your heart still trusting? Or have you said like King David, I said in my haste, all men are liars. How many of you have been ripped off by men? And something happens in our heart. We close it off. You know, when you close your heart off to your brother and sister, you're actually closing it off to God as well. You can't partition your heart like that. God's created our heart to love him and love our neighbour as ourselves. That's why he's created our heart. If you know, there's that trust been taken away, I want you to trust again. If maybe your love has grown cold, the Bible says in the last days, because of lawlessness, the love of many will grow cold. I wonder, is your love grown cold? I remember driving back with my mum after God saved me and filled me with his Holy Spirit. Love of God was just poured out in my heart, like it says in Scripture. And I'm shouting, I had to express it. I'm shouting out the window, Jesus loves you. Well, silly, but there has to be expression. It's the expression of God's love stilted in your heart. Is it grown cold? Don't be weary in doing good. Don't be weary. What's the condition of your heart? Maybe you're burdened. So many things are happening in your life. Family problems, work problems. We can be burdened, overburdened. Jesus said, take heed lest your hearts be weighed down, overburdened. Take heed, be careful. We're in those times where God wants to refresh your heart, but you've got to become like a little child. You know what Jesus said? Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know, the whole of the book of Hebrews is talking about there's a rest for the people of God. Joshua never took the people into a rest. Yeah, they got a land, but they never rested. The only place that your heart is going to be able to rest is in Jesus Christ. It's believing him with all of your heart, trusting him with all of your heart, loving him with all of your heart, relying on him with all of your heart. That's the only rest that you'll have. He said, take my yoke on you and learn of me. He said, I am meek and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just be still. I want you to be still right now. Just believe Jesus. Let the Holy Spirit, as you let go of all of those things, because you're the one that's holding on to them. It's your speech gives you away. Your attitude gives you away. See, everything in your life comes out of your heart. Everything. The Bible doesn't lie. Everything. I want you to be still right now. Stop your struggle. Stop your striving. Stop your trying to justify or prove yourself or anything like that. And say, Lord, here I am. I've got nothing to offer you, but I need you. Just be still for just a minute.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.